Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be with you. I'm Eddie, your host. You're watching The Dean Show, and we're here at our future home, a home that awaits us all, from the womb and then to the tomb. And in between, it's what we do in this life that's going to determine if we're going to be successful in the next life or not. So the young man who's in his grave, his life was taken. He was murdered. And in this episode of The Dean Show, we're going to find out why, what happened. How did this 19-year-old boy, who was an undefeated wrestler, who was young, strong, athletic, good family, and at the blink of an eye, his life, his whole life changed, and now he's in the grave. His life is finished. So stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to find out why, what happened, and how you can get involved to help police track down the criminal that did this and bring him to justice. We'll be right back with Samir Baraka's story here on The Dean Show.
This is 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 The Dean Show.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be with you. Greetings of peace to everybody all around the world who's tuning into The Dean Show. We started off, we took you to a scene at the graveyard, and we had expressed that this is a home that all of us, one day, tomorrow, today, in a year, in a second, we can end up in, and we want to make the best out of this life before we visit our future home, the grave. But a young man's life, sadly, was taken away, 19 years old, and this young man was your son. I'm here with our brother, your brother, Baraka. How are you, sir?
Alhamdulillah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Thank you for finding the courage, you know, the energy to be with us, you know, here on The Dean Show.
Thank you. You're welcome.
We really thought it'd be really important to create awareness so we can get our brothers and sisters from all around the globe. You know, people are tuning into The Dean Show from all over. And some, if this just goes away, people forget. So now we're going to have people from all over making dua for your family. And inshallah, this culprit, the criminal, will get brought to justice. And the police will, inshallah, get some tips that we can, you know, have this individual in jail so he's not out there hurting, killing another innocent human being. So tell us now, you were coming from, tell us what happened.
Me and my two sons was basically coming from a night out, you know, as we was bonding. We telling stories, telling jokes and so on. And we make it home. We come through this way, the alley. And a guy felt that to ask us questions, are we in the gang, are we Latin King? And repeatedly, three times, we said no, no, and we don't game bang. And he said, y'all better dip and start shooting at us. I was able to push one of my kids to the side behind the dumpster and take the other one and put him in front of me. But yet, after the fourth shot, I think he was shot at the fourth shot and dropped on the floor. And there was one more shot after that.
You mentioned when we spoke yesterday that you had gotten home. You were, you know, we're fasting. It's Ramadan, so people know that we begin our day before the break of dawn, right. Eat a little bit, and then don't eat.
That's what he was saying as we was right there. He looked at his watch, and his last words was, "Wait. We have enough time to do suhoor, to beat me in a video game, and do fajr, and go to sleep." That was his last words.
So you guys...
He didn't say nothing to the guy as he was talking. Me and my son Sammy, the one that was responding to him, that we're not gang members. We basically, we were saying, no, we're not in the gang.
Your sons don't have anything to do with a gang.
My son is sweetheart. He's athletic. He's he achieved black sand medals in football, black sand medals in wrestling, black sand medals in tracks, fourth and sixth place in tracks, first and second place on Chicago in wrestling and football. They used to call him Julius Pepper. That's how good he was in football.
So you had gotten to the front. I remember you mentioned you got into the front of your house.
To the front.
And then you ended up coming around because you just wanted to kill some more time to come around. What was it?
We were just didn't finish the jokes that we was telling each other and the stories.
Father and son's bonding.
Right.
So you wanted some more bonding time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We was thinking that we can use another couple of minutes so we can finish the stories we tell and the jokes. And he tells good jokes.
Yeah.
He's the type of person that anybody that met him, within 3-4 sentences, he'll tell you a joke or a joke of something that he did. He'll make you laugh.
So you, with your two sons, you're walking down this alley. Okay, you guys get the shot. You're walking down this alley.
Yes.
It's family time. You're spending time with your family, your two sons. And now you guys are heading towards the back door. Okay.
25 feet away.
Okay. And then you hear this individual, now the criminal who shot your son, he yells, what did he yell out?
Hey, are y'all kings?
Now, what's this kings? I mean, what is that?
It's a gang that's basically dominating this neighborhood. It's three gangs and two more gangs trying to move in, or they already in.
Okay.
There's kings, there's Ketzi boys.
So these, we'll say, I mean, these are people that are striking terror in the neighborhood.
Right.
Innocent people are trying to get to work, you know, live their lives, productive citizens. So these people come and are starting to strike terror into the people,
yeah,
such as you.
You don't know if he's the king or if he's from the other gang, because he's asking us, are you king?
Yeah.
And we're saying no, and he's still shot. So
you had clearly told him, look, we have nothing to do with any gangs or any affiliation with any gangs.
We didn't have that long of a conversation.
Yeah.
I just said no. The second question he asked, the second time, my son says, no, we don't gangbang. The third question, I looked, I was like, no, man. And that's when he pulled the gun.
You said something about, he said, you better dip.
Dip. You better dip.
That's like slang for?
Run.
Run. And then the shots rang out.
Yes.
And then you end up, now we see over here, you can see, take the camera to have a look. Over here we have the pool of blood. So is this where now?
That's where he dropped on his face, and that's, I thought he was taking cover.
And
so I was able to jump on top of him so he don't get shot. And I'm looking back there. The guy is about 125 feet, 130 feet away, you know, and he turns around and run, and my son Sammy sees the blood and he started yelling his son's his brother name, Samir. So when I looked and I saw the blood, I told him, go get a phone, call 911, and he did. And I turned Samir around and listened to his heartbeat, and it was beating. So I started calling him, like, come on, Samir. And he was not moving for about 10 minutes. He did not move at all till Sammy came back with the phone. His mom right there came back with the phone. Sister, everybody, the neighbors start coming out, calling 911. It was a gathering. It was a shooting, but yeah, everybody came.
Now all the neighbors, everybody's out at this point?
Yes, 10 minutes after that. And that's, he started gagging on his blood. He started gagging on his blood. And I turned him to his side.
He's in your arms now.
Yes. Turned him to his side. The blood came out. I see the blood coming out of everywhere in his face. But he have not responded yet. His first response, he had put his hand on the ground and he tried to get up. So at this point, I don't want the bullet to travel. So I'm trying to hold him down. I end up on my back on the floor, and he's on top of me, and I held him in a wrestling move that I taught him, and he won several times with that move. And I held him that way with my arms and my legs so he don't move, and he was still too strong for me. You know, right? I start telling Sammy to go and get the car. He got the keys from his mom and went to get the car because the ambulance was taking too long. Picked him up, tried to put him in the car. He just bought that car not too long ago, and he didn't fit in the back seat of it.
So now the ambulance, it just you're feeling that time is
right.
Crucial.
Time is precious.
So now yes. You get the other, your car, try to get him in the car, and it just wouldn't fit?
No, and I was trying to put him in there. We saw the ambulance comes in the alley, and they missed the alley. And by the time they turned around, they come to this side, it was police cars everywhere where the ambulance couldn't come through. So when the stretcher came, ambulance people couldn't even pick him up and put him there because he's holding on to me and everything. I'm the one that put him on a stretcher, rolled to the stretcher, put him in the ambulance. Then his mom, sister, and two little brother followed as me and Sammy stayed back because we had to give the information to the police. They won't let us leave. After we're done, it was like almost shuruq. Sun is about to come out. And that's a little before that, that's when my wife called me and said, the doctor said that he's not going to make it. He won't make it more than 24 hours. I told her, just go read some Quran to him, say la ilaha illallah. And that's what he did, what she did. And as soon as I got done, I went in to the hospital and I kept reading Quran to him, and I'm knowing that I'm losing my son. And the doctor's trying to convince me, like, this is it. And I said, try to do your best. You said he won't make it 24 hour. Let's do that 24 hour. Let's prepare the family. Because I won't know what to go and tell my daughter and my other sons that y'all lost their brothers, you know. So it was around 7 o'clock when the doctor says, the blood pressure is too low. It was 35 over 13. And there was a medication that they can use, they can put in there where it can increase the blood pressure. And if it doesn't work, then they're gonna have to put another tube in him. And that will work. So the medication did not work. But the tube did work. And as that blood pressure was increasing, the heartbeat was dropping. And it was dropping fast. I stepped out of the room just for a few seconds, not even a minute, you know, just to go and check on the kids and come back. And as I'm running back to the room and I'm hearing my wife crying, you know, I probably got there, the monitor was saying like 10 heartbeats, you know, and I'm not even around the curtain, you know, I'm just peeking to see what's going on. The monitor was saying 10 heartbeats, and the nurse says, who's going to pronounce the death? And the doctor says, 9:30, we pronounce him dead. So now, we just did the right thing. We sat there, read the Shahada for him. I don't know whether is that accepted or not. But I did say the Shahada, and I said on Samir, since he's not able to talk. So I kept reading the Quran so the soul could come out easily.
I know you've told the story over and over, and you've shed so many tears, and it's been a very emotional time in your life, and may the Creator of the heavens and earth make it easy for you and your family.
Alhamdulillah.
And I want you to tell us, for the person, have the police been able to, so far we know that they haven't caught this individual?
I don't know if they caught him or not. Last conversation I had with the detective less than 24 hours ago, they said they have several people there, only two that they caught with the same gun that my son was shot with.
What kind of gun was he shot with?
It was a 45 caliber, yeah. Smith & Wesson. With the Winchester bullets.
Any advice that you have for families who they have their kids, they're alive, and kids who have their parents, the families now, they've never tasted something like this, you know, to really reflect about the purpose of life and to take life seriously. And, you know, what advice do you have?
That's exactly what it is. Life is precious, you know. It's not ours, but it's precious. Spend it wisely, you know, basically. Keep them around you. I mean, Allah is the protector. He's the only protector. You cannot protect anybody. You cannot protect yourself to protect others. So keep your faith in Allah. At the same time, bond with your kids, no matter what. No matter if they're 1 year old or if they're 30, 40 years old, keep bonding with them. Because you don't know when you're going to go or when they're going to go. He haven't missed not one Ramadan since the age of 7. He fasts all Ramadans. I probably missed a couple of days here and there, or a few days when I'm sick and so on. He have not missed one day of Ramadan. He makes sure he fasts the whole Ramadan. And that's his friends on the basketball court used to pick on him, like, why are you fasting? He was like, why are you not fasting? They was like, because it's too hard. He was like, you will get it one day. You'll get it. And if they push him to get him angry, he'll fall and he'll get up after they took the ball from him. And he'll go and take the ball, make that basket. And he's still smiling. They was like, you don't get angry? He was like, why should I? We're playing. We're just playing.
I'd like to thank you, and may the Creator of the heavens and earth continue to make things easy for you, to reward you for all your patience, and send mercy and blessings upon your family. And may He reunite you with your son in Jannah.
Shukran, brother. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, you've got your dream home and you've got your dream car, but you're going to get old and things are going to happen to you in your life. And then what have you got? At the end of the day, it's an empty dream that has no real foundation. We are going to die and we're going to meet our Lord, and He is going to judge us.
It becomes an obligation for each single human being to find out what the Quran is. Islam is telling us to stay away from things which are bad for your person and bad for the society.
One God, worship Him alone. Do what He wants you to do. Put your desires, this thing inside you that just wants this and wants that, and you just can't get enough. You know what? You never get enough until the dirt's in your mouth. Don't let it come to that. Be sincere and honest. Ask the one who created you to guide you. It's the first step. Put off chasing all the women and the good times and the parties and this and that.
There is no one worthy of worship except Allah. Don't wait. You never know if death would come today for you or not.
Death and the Day of Judgment, the mercy of Allah, these are the things that finally made me realize there is no time to delay anymore. I wanted to take my Shahada right then.
The essence of spirituality is to become more sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, contemplate death itself. It is very, very scary, but it brings you back to reality. There is a life which is everlasting in the hereafter. And you have to make a conscious decision of which group of people do you want to be of, the people of heaven or the people of hell.
Allahu Akbar. Peace be unto you. We're here with the Barakat family, and it's a very for me, you know, usually people are tuning in watching the Deen Show, and I'm very elated and excited, and you know, we're sharing the message of the purpose of life. And I heard this story and I just couldn't let it pass by, because I didn't want this. You know, we got people dying all over the world, and this is something that just happened in our backyard. This story brought us together, and I didn't want it to just be a fading memory. I wanted to get this story out there to humanity so we can make a difference, so we can try to help stop another innocent human being from tomorrow, you know, getting killed in this senseless violence. So we got to hear what happened to your son. This is your brother.
This is my brother Raed Barakat.
Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You flew in from California. What were your thoughts when you heard this? The last thing, in your wildest imagination, you wouldn't think you were getting a call. What? Tell us at that moment, what happened?
Actually, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. When I just wake up, just
the time difference, I wake up, somebody just texts me a message. I read it, says Samir Ibn Yusuf just died.
Says, that's your nephew now.
Yeah. Said, Samir Ibn Yusuf died. Who crazy? Who's crazy sending this message?
Thought it was maybe a joke.
Yeah. I look, it's my sister. I told my wife, Samir just died, Suhail's son. So she, Samir Ibn Suhail, my son is Yusuf. Samir Ibn Suhail. So my wife crashed, started crying. I didn't believe what's going on, so I called my sister. My sister, she said, yeah, he just passed away. It's just hit you when I was wondering what's going on. Is it real? Is it sickness? Is it shot? What's going on? Then I called her. She said, no, he got shot. So I took his telephone number. I called him and he was crying. He said, just got shot. So I just got the first plane and flight all the way here.
You had a one-way ticket all the way to Chicago.
Yeah, I just got a one-way ticket. I said, I just want to go see what's going on. Because it was really surprising something like this happened. You always see it in news, you see it everywhere. I thought something friend or something, but like massacre like this, when you hear it in everywhere, you never thought it's going to hit home. Once it hit home, it's totally different. You're not going to flip channels anymore. You will hear what other people say. A lot of people, they look at the TV, 11 people together just got died. This guy in the theater, this here, in Syria, people get killed. You just look at it and with cold blood, you just keep flipping channels. I'm one of them. So I just keep flipping the channels and forget that there's human life just got lost. And we don't even think about that. We just thinking about the remote control, just, okay, go, now another killing here, now another killing here. That's what really is going starts hitting you. Now it's home. So how are we going to deal with it?
How have you guys been dealing with it so far? How are you guys holding up?
So far, we're trying to gather together, all of us from California came in, from New York, from Ohio, all came in to join my brother to make sure that make Allah make it easy on all of us and on him. And I told them, anything happened, we have to get the positive out of it. It's easy. He killed my son. I'm going to grab a gun and go around somebody else to kill this. But what about if we can get something positive out of it? The positive thing is try to make awareness for everybody. Try to catch those people. Try to stop them from what they're doing. Like I told him, there's a lot of agency they could help to do some flyers or do some reward for them. And when we were in cemetery, you mentioned, and we were about the Crime Stopper. And yesterday we called and we found out about some information. And we want to do some flyers. We want to do something on their school. We want to do some more stuff to gather people, to tell them this is really did hit home and you guys really need to stop the violence against the kids. And those people, they really need to stop.
We need to keep our children around us as much as possible. The children should bury us, we shouldn't bury them. Like I said, I'm not mad, I'm not angry. Only thing is I'm a little sad because I'm gonna miss him. I'm gonna miss him. He's my oldest son. Yeah. He took a piece of my heart with him. But he's gonna live in my heart forever. And I will always pray for him. And I ask everybody to make a prayer for him.
And if we're going to worship something, I figured I might as well worship the Creator instead of any of the creations.
Now, you know, upon investigating all the religions, I remember finding out the meaning of what Islam is, what a Muslim is. Those who surrender themselves to God is a Muslim. Those who surrender, submit to God, God's will. That is it. Islam was pure. It was just, you just pray to God, your Creator.
If Allah's by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah's by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah's by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone.
Back here on the Dean Show, we just got to interview the Barakah family who lost their son in the senseless violence that overtook them. So you get to reflect. This is the test of life. People are dying every day. And you see how they're handling it because they have faith in the Creator of the heavens and the earth. But inshallah, God willing, a greater good will come from this. That the community, that the people will come together and say, we've had enough of this. Work with the police to bring this culprit to justice. And the culprit who's out there who did this, the best thing you can do is turn to the Creator of the heavens and earth and repent. Make sincere repentance to the Creator before death overtakes you. And you mentioned something about dipping, because otherwise you're going to be dipping straight into the hellfire, and that's a scary hot place. And then apologize to this family and go do your time. Go do your time because you did the crime. And for those who are out there who are thinking about being in a gang, who are in a gang, this is one of the stupidest things that you can do with your life. Foolish. Ignorant. Families need to work together to bring their children upright, to stay away, stay together, work together, so they can bring up solid families together, good institutions of family, so their children aren't without a father and not without a mother. And then they have enough love in this family so the kids don't have to go out and look for love, the wrong love, somewhere else, joining these gangs, joining these criminal organizations, these terrorist organizations, because they're striking terror into innocent people's homes like they just did to the Barakah family. So if you have any information to help solve this crime, go ahead and call the detectives who are on the case. Work with the Neighborhood Watch Program. Work with the authorities. Call the alderman also. You have his number here. To get everybody involved to help clean this neighborhood up. To help clean this neighborhood up from these terrorists who are out here. The gang members. These are the real terrorists who are out here terrifying innocent people. So let's work together. Let's make dua for this family. Supplicate for this family. And work together to bring peace into this neighborhood and all around the world. And that's what Muslims should be doing. Muslims, ones who are submitted to the will of God, are about peace and bringing peace, not havoc to the earth. And that's what we want to do. By your du'as, that Allah, the Creator of the heavens and earth, sends tranquility and peace to this family who's going through such a hard time. Allah, make it easy. And so we can bring peace into this community that is being reigned with violence. Day after day after day. So with your help, we can do it, God willing. Work with the authorities, work with the politicians, and let's clean up these streets. Because that, as the Prophet, the last messenger sent to mankind, said, if you see an evil, change it with your hands. If you're not with your hands, you speak out against it with your tongue. And the least amount of faith is to hate it in your heart. And we hate this senseless violence. We hate it, so let's work with the authorities to put an end to this in our neighborhood. Even in your neighborhood, if you're not here in Chicago, go ahead and do the right thing and get involved in the community to make the community a safer place for all those people who are trying to live in peace. We'll see you next time here on The Dean Show. Until then, peace be with you.